Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Retrofitting and sustainability are the future of construction. Visit sullis.ie/greenskills to find your course.
Now, dazzling performances from Messi and Alvarez led Argentina to their sixth World Cup final with victory over Croatia last night. Following a fairly dull opening half hour, the game came to life with a show of brilliance from both players, winning 3-0 at the end. And the Argentinians will find out who they face in the final tonight as France and Morocco battle it out in the second semi-final. In a moment, I'll be joined by Abdel Bamo, who's a Moroccan living here in Dublin. But first, I'm joined by Gavin Cooney, sports writer with the 42.ie and, of course, regular here on the programme. Good morning, Gavin.
Hey, Claire. How are things?
Good. I thought it was a boring match.
You don't appreciate the majesty.
No, I do. I saw the majesty. I saw all that. It was great. But it wasn't really a match. It was a display of football.
That's a good way of summing it up. It absolutely was. Like, I was on the program yesterday wondering, you know, how would Argentina deal with the pressure of the occasion and of Croatia? I was wrong about all that. They dealt with it pretty easily. Croatia didn't really turn up. Croatia were very poor. They played well for the first 15 minutes. And then as soon as Argentina got the first goal, they were just very comfortable in the game. And then they scored that, I don't know, quite hilarious second. There was a, I don't know, you couldn't say it was like Maradona's solo run against England in 1986. Maybe there was a touch of that. There was also, have to say, a touch of Del Boy falling through the bar of some of the defending from Croatia. And then Messi.
I know.
Assist for the third goal. Just like, what a thing to see.
I know. And I've watched it over and over again. And I'm still looking at it going, why didn't he fall over there? Why didn't he wobble there? You know, it's just, it's quite unbelievable to see that.
Oh, because the defender he's facing, Josco Gvardiol, he has been the best defender of the tournament. I think there's consensus on that. He's also 15 years younger than Messi. He's 15 centimetres taller than him. And Messi beat him, you know, and like, it's not that Gvardiol did anything particularly wrong, but, you know, back in like 7 years ago, Messi has the pace to take it by him once. He doesn't have that pace anymore, so he's to take him by him once. Then when Gvardiol catches up, he checks back and dummies to have to go and beat him again. And then the assist. I mean, Messi didn't actually score the goal. Poor Alvarez did score the goal. And he's getting no credit for it. But, wow.
What did you think of the penalty?
Did I think it was contentious? No, I thought, you know, the goalkeeper cleaned Alvarez out. I'm surprised that
Did Alvarez not barge the goalkeeper?
I kind of felt like the goalkeeper barged him. You know, there was a collision. Like, the goalkeeper probably needs to get out of the way there. I didn't think it was controversial on the ground, but I'm guessing that from your question that maybe there has been controversy around it.
Oh, no, maybe just in my head. Do you know, I just felt when it happened, I thought, oh, that's it. Game over. You know when that happens so early on in the game and it's Argentina and they're in there already with one on the board from a penalty. It just changed the dynamic and I was just disappointed that it happened. Look, I'm sure they deserve their penalty, but in terms of creating a really good game, it was frustrating.
Yeah, like, I suppose, like, I didn't, at the time, I didn't really think so because I don't fully trust Argentina. I haven't seen them blow the lead against the Netherlands.
Yeah.
But it was, I have to say, it was the second goal then did kind of kill it. You know, Croatia were very limited. Like, they just didn't look like scoring at any point in the game.
Yeah, what happened to them? What happened to Croatia? Where did they go?
They were very dispirited after the game. There wasn't a sense of pride having made this far. I think they were very disappointed with their performance. They defended terribly. I mean, some of the defending, like leading up to the penalty, like Dejan Lovren runs back to play Alvarez on side and then runs away from him. Just completely inexplicable. I think maybe there was some fatigue. You know, we've built up so many Croatia games beforehand to say that they're probably tired from winning their last game on penalties. Maybe they were. They lacked just quality up front. You know, they had 4 years ago, they had Mario Mandzukic, who was a very good forward, but he's a coach now. He's actually sent off for protesting the penalty decision, but they just lacked that quality up front, didn't they? So, I have to say, Argentina, it was their best performance of the tournament. You know, it's, and what a time to turn it in.
Yeah, maybe just moving into that gear that we always suspect teams like Argentina have, that they hold back in reserve, you know, that mystery that seemed to be solved last night when we saw it. I love what you write today on the42.ie about Alvarez. His impact on this team cannot be understated. He is to Messi what sonar waves are to a bat.
Oh, okay. That was written in a hurry now from the press box. So apologies to the listeners who don't really understand that. But it was just like, so Alvarez has been picked. He's been brought into the team. He was brought in after the first game defeat to Saudi Arabia. And you should see this man run. He's just like, he hurtles about, flies into tackles and creates space for Messi. So he's kind of defining the outer limits of the pitch into which Messi can kind of regally trot and make his and make the impact. You know, it's like, in fairness to the manager, Lionel Scaloni, he's a complete rookie. Like, he's not been a manager before, but he came into this tournament on the back of a 36 match unbeaten run, then it all imploded against Saudi Arabia, and he managed to turn it around. You know, that's a shattering emotional blow, but he's turned it around. He's introduced Alvarez, he's introduced the midfielder Enzo Fernandez, and they've provided a base from which Messi can weave his magic.
Now, Gavin, stay with us because, as I said, I have Abdel on the line for us as well. Abdel Bamo, who's a Moroccan man living in Dublin. Good morning, Abdel.
Good morning, Claire.
How are you? I'm very well. How are you? How are your nerves?
I'm good. Very good. Very happy to be here with you.
And there's huge excitement in Morocco and, of course, amongst the Moroccan community here in Ireland.
Oh, yeah. It's so big. You know, we never hit this before. So, you know that Morocco, everyone there, they love football. So it's big thing now. Yeah.
And look, you saw the match last night. Did that make you feel a little bit more nervous about how Morocco might react when they're on this big stage?
Yeah, exactly. It's hard to know what will be happening in the match between France and Morocco. I didn't watch the whole game yesterday, Argentina, Croatia. I just watched a little bit, but it's hard to know exactly what's going to happen in the match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because both teams, I think they have the same chances.
Tell us a little bit so that we can understand about the rivalry between Morocco and France.
I think that we'll see a very important game between these two nations for a lot of reasons. It is the first time that the two teams oppose each other on each other in official competition. And it's difficult to predict the result of the match.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know, that there is deep historical, like human, even family ties between the two countries. And this will give this match an important emotion.
Of course, the political and the colonial history. But for you, I mean,
We're still family. We love France, they love us, but we will win.
You mightn't love each other tonight at 7 o'clock on that pitch. But for you, I mean, you were a professional footballer in Morocco before you moved to Ireland. Tell me a bit about that.
That's right. I used to play football as a professional myself, and I took it very serious to be a professional, like I'm playing in a big team. It was a dream, but this is life, you know. And I got injured and everything, and I changed direction, and so I did other professional.
You played from the ages of 17 to 23, isn't that right? And then injury forced you out of the game.
I started when I was small. I started on the age of 7 years old. Yeah, until the 23 years old, 24, and then I stopped as a professional and just kept playing with my friends.
Abdel, do you think that Morocco can beat France?
We have that intention actually, and all the hope, and we trust in the coach and all the players. You know that we have very good young players with a lot of desire, and they're playing in big clubs. So I think it's not going to be a surprise if we win France. And of course, I want to see my country like changing the African and Arab mentality that we never can reach semifinals or finals in the World Cup.
And
I think that's the time and the opportunity to do it and show the world that we can also, as Africans and Arab and Muslims, do to something big as well in the sport.
You mentioned that France and Morocco are friends and family too. And and to that end, you are going to be watching the match with some French friends tonight.
I was going to watch it with the French friends. Then like a lot of Moroccan friends that live here in Dublin as well, they all tell me that they are doing like a small meeting in a hotel here in Dublin. So everyone is going to be watching there. So I think I'm going to go to watch with them as well.
So the Moroccans are going to watch the match together.
Yes.
You see, I knew this was going to, all this friendship was going to break down as we get closer to kickoff tonight at 7 o'clock. Abdel, we wish you well and look, enjoy it. That's the main thing.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Claire, for having me. And I want to say thank you to the Majesty, the Mohammed VI, for the big support, like the financially and everything. Who, like, he's the one, number one, who's the.
This is your king, is it?
The king, my king, Mohammed.
The king of Morocco.
Yeah, the king. He's a big fan for the sport. He's given a lot for the soccer in Morocco.
Well, look.
As you can see, this.
Abdel, I tell you what, if you win, we'll have you on the program. And if you can get the King of Morocco to join us tomorrow morning, we'd love that too.
Oh, definitely, I will. Expect everything.
Thanks so much. Gavin, listen, back to you. I mean, I don't know if Abdel's going to want to stay on the line now to hear your analysis of this, but what's your sense of how this game is going to go?
I'm going to preface this by soothing Abdel's nerves by telling him that I am as far from an expert as is possible.
And we know that.
Literally every one of my predictions has been wrong. I kind of think France are going to win. I feel kind of bad for saying it. I just think Morocco have been magnificent so far. I just think France are the best team of the tournament. I think they have just so many ways of hurting you with Mbappe and Dembele on the wings and then Giroud in the penalty area. And Morocco have injury concerns in the defence. So I'm afraid to disappoint Abdel and indeed the king himself. I think France will win.
All right, well, look, we'll wait and see. But I'll tell you, looking back at the match against England, even though England, I think most people would agree, were probably the best team on that night, when France got a chance, half a chance, they were in there. Yeah. And that's really what impresses about them, that even when they're down, they're certainly not out. The confidence is still there.
Oh, massively. They just have so many ways to hurt you with the likes of Giroud, and, you know, they're the reigning champions. They've been there before. But look, I mean, Morocco have made fools of us all of us predictors anyway throughout the tournament. So, hey, you'd never know. One last dance.
I just want a better match tonight than we had last night. Just want it to be more fun.
I mean, it will be. I would imagine it'll be tight. You know, Morocco have only conceded one goal in the tournament so far, and that was an OG. So an opposition player hasn't actually scored. So, you know, France are the better team, but like, Morocco are good enough to keep this to within one goal. I think their resistance would be a lot firmer than Croatia's.
All right, well, let's see what happens. Gavin, thank you very much. Gavin Cooney there in Qatar, and Abdel Bamo, who's looking forward to that match tonight. And I'm looking forward to speaking to the King of Morocco tomorrow if Morocco win. Take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.